Good morning, Jacksonville. It's Josh McCarthy with WOKV, and I want to welcome you to a special hour of Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, coming at you at 9 a.m. today. As you know by now, this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete the Job Guy Langlois introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals, all done with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers, and welcome to this Sunday morning. I hope you got up, you had a cup of coffee, and you put the dogs out, and you're ready to attack this day. Today is really, you know, it's the new year, but we're knee-deep into it right now. We're more than halfway through January already, and at the end of January, we're 1/12 of the way through the year. So this year is going to fly by, and I'm going to tell you something. January 20th is a special day for me, because today, doggone it, is my birthday. Woo! One of the things I want to talk about right now is resolutions, right? New Year's resolutions. This is big for me. Now, I'm going to say a few words. Resolution, constitution, institution, and prostitution. Those words listed together have absolutely no connection. They don't mean anything other than I said that because I wanted to make myself laugh. And that's pretty funny. All right. Now let me get into your New Year's resolutions. You know, and first, let's go to the origin of the resolutions. This is something that was done way back when by the Babylonians. There's religious significance early on. What they did is at the beginning of each year, they said prayers to their gods to help them pay off their debts, basically. Then the Romans came in, and they prayed to the god of January, and there was some shenanigans there. I don't know the whole thing, but it was designed to start the year off fresh. And if you fast forward to today, you know, there's no real religious connection to having a New Year's resolution. About 45% of people do have a resolution, and typically they go something like this. This year, in 2019, I resolved to lose weight. This year, I resolved to quit smoking, or I'm going to drink less, or I'm going to do something like this. And of the 45% of people that have a resolution, about 45, you all mean it. All 45% of you mean to do something differently this year that's going to be for your own betterment. It's going to help you, right? That's why I resolved to do this, because it's going to make me a better husband, father, friend, person, what have you. It's going to make me look better, make me perform better, whatever it is. We resolve to do this behavior. Of the 45% of people that have a New Year's resolution, about 44% of you are going to fall off the wagon in February, because it's nothing more than just some big old statement that you say every year. You remember what you had last year? Doggone it, you started the year at 200, you said you're going to get to 180, and you finished the year at 205. Okay? And this is about all you 45% is 44, you realize this, and the 1% held true to it. Resolutions, you know, they're done for good reasons and good purposes. But I'm going to tell you, I can't remember a New Year's resolution that I've ever had. I can't remember. Now, my life is all kind of governed by short and long-term goals. I have goals that I live by every year. So it would be weird to just introduce a resolution, because I continually reassess my goals. It's a weird thing. Yeah, I resolve to what? To be better at achieving my short and long-term goals. I don't know what it is, but it's a weird thing. I don't want to introduce something for the mere fact of introducing it and then set myself up for some bizarre failure. Anyway, guys, I'm so happy to be in 2019, and when we blink our eyes, we'll be talking about what a great year we had. Okay? Now, we are very fortunate today. Here we are Sunday morning, and we have a repeat guest. The world-famous Charlie Jimerson is back here. Charlie, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Happy birthday, young man.
Oh, yes, yes, young man is correct. I'm 54 years young today, and doggone, I don't look a day over 54.
Exactly. I don't look a day over 55 myself, and I'll be turning 40 on the 25th.
Oh, come on. You look like a young Richard Gere is who you look at. You know you've
heard
that before.
I'll take that. Like Officer and Gentleman Richard Gere.
Yeah, that one.
I'll take it. Mayo. The Mayo Man.
Yeah. For those of you that don't remember, go back and listen to the old podcast with Charlie Jimerson. Charlie runs one of the most prestigious law firms in town. And what I like about Charlie is this guy has lived a life. You know, he came up through the enlisted ranks. Thank you for your service, Charlie.
Pleasure's all mine.
Yeah. And then he, after, you know, serving his country, doing a great job, while you were in, you got your degree in, like, record time. Isn't that right? You got your undergraduate anyway,
yes,
right?
Sir. Finished my undergraduate degree in my first 4 years of enlistment.
Yeah, and while you're serving your country, and incidentally, that's not like a 40-hour-a-week job, is it?
No, it took up a lot of my time.
Right. You know what? Let's get into the meat and potatoes here. And I'm talking about New Year's resolutions. What do you think of those?
Yeah, I like them. I'm a big fan of New Year's resolutions. I think they can take many different forms, and the power is going to be in the follow through. But I bet there's somebody somewhere in America who has a New Year's resolution to read the Constitution and get away from prostitution. So
there's the tie-in, folks, right there, like a true professional, bringing back the monologue into the tie-in. I bet we can resurface that a little bit later in the show too. Let me ask you: do you set resolutions for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I have every year since I was 15 years old.
What's 2019 look like? I know it's kind of personal, but do you have ones that you can share?
Yeah, I do. For me, some are business oriented, some are personal and health oriented, and they take on different forms. I'm a really big fan of really setting, putting together an overall business plan every year. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very introspective process in which I put together a business plan that consists of business-oriented resolutions. They're typically very complementary of my personal resolutions, but, you know, I could break down some of them, but you know, some of them I would say they're more personal in nature.
Right. Now, it's interesting because it's a good time to do that every year at the calendar year reset to kind of reassess and, you know, here are my goals, here's what I'm going to do. But the resolution, is there a difference between resolution and goals? And if there is, what does that look like?
Yeah, so for me, there is a difference between resolutions and goals. Goals are similar in nature, but I think that the way that resolutions and goals are achieved is more through the process. And so you don't want it to be a wish. You want it to be a goal and something that you consistently work towards. And I think that that's the special advice that I would give anybody who's a goal-oriented person, is that you need instead of resolutions, you need to have a goal that has verifiable trajectories towards the certain objectives and clear milestones on exactly how you obtain that.
Do you know what I say, and not to interrupt, but I do frequently because it's my show. The one of the things that I notice about resolutions, and I'm gonna micro it, and it probably applies on a macro level. I'm into fitness, and I go to the gym, and I go to boot camps, and I go to the Gym Jacks, and you know what? That's important to me, an important part of my life. But I always see in January the class sizes double, and the gym has all these new faces, and it's great. And I'm not looking down my nose at anybody that jumps in is going to give it a whirl. But come February, I know darn well there's going to taper off, because, you know, I think what you said, it kind of, I get it, between a wish list and a goal with milestones. And I think what happens is, you know, I wish, and then you get in, you start doing it, and for whatever reason, maybe there isn't a February goal. It was just a year-long wish rather than a goal with milestones.
Sure. Yeah, and that's how you have to. There's a lot been written about this, but I'm a big fan of SMART goals. And for the listening audience who doesn't know what a SMART goal is SMART goal is a goal that has to be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound.
Hey, wait, if you take the first letter of each one of those, that means SMART.
That's right, yeah. The SMART cookie. Not only a hard worker, but also a SMART cookie.
But go ahead.
So yeah, SMART goals, I mean, I think that's how so the concept of a resolution, if you turn it into a SMART goal, I think that you're more apt to actually accomplish your resolution. And I could, you know, if you'll give me some leeway, I'll kind of break down exactly how that works.
Please do, sir.
Sure, yeah. So this S part of it is specific. So you really have to set a goal that's measurable, you know, in a sense that what exactly are you trying to achieve? The more specific your description, really the better chance that you'll get exactly what you want. Now, the specific part clarifies the difference between I want to be a millionaire versus I want to make $25,000 a month for the next 10 years by creating a new software product. Totally different goals.
Right.
Hopefully get to the same destination, but you see the specificity the specificity component that's associated with the latter framing of that goal.
Right.
You know, the M part of the SMART goal is measurable. So is it measurable? Can it be achieved? Measure goals. Those are goals where it's not just something you hear or see or feel. It being happy, for instance, being happier. That's not really a measurable goal. How do you measure that? What's the win or lose of the being happier? Not smoking every day, that would be a measurable goal. You either won or lost in that. Or eating vegetables twice a day, that's a measurable goal. So you got to set a goal that you can actually track its progress.
Right, the measurable component, and you know, this is one thing too, and I think you'd agree with me. When we get to measurable, a lot of it, especially if it comes to the resolution, we'll go to the resolution and goals. An annual goal and a resolution will kind of, they're not synonymous, but we'll say, okay, by the end of the year, I want to lose 20 pounds. And I'm going to go back to the fitness one because I guarantee of the 45% of the people that make a resolution, something to do with weight loss and fitness seems to connect with a lot of people. If the goal is to lose 20 pounds and we're making it measurable, it shouldn't be pass or fail in December, right?
Sure.
I mean, probably, okay, if I make 20 and there's 12 months, I need to lose, you know, almost, you know, pound and three quarters or pound and a half per month in order to attain my goal. But here's it's a measurable goal with milestones.
Sure. Yeah, it's the destination and not necessarily the roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's if you're doing a cross-country trip to Seattle, Seattle's the goal, but you're going to have to stop in New Orleans and, you know, Dallas and, you know, maybe work your way up through Vegas and whatever. Those are the milestones.
You definitely have to go through Vegas. You have to.
Always go to Vegas. You know, that's the best free advice you guys are going to get on the show today. Pete likes to have moments where you take out the pencil and write down notes. Write that note down.
Write that down.
Go to Vegas, baby.
Go to Vegas. So we have specific goals. They're measurable. And we said measurements can have milestones along the way. What's next?
So, you know, attainable. So is it attainable? Is it something that is it so lofty that under the best scenario, you're not even going to accomplish it?
Right. Why set yourself up for failure?
Sure.
Right.
It has to be within reach. The R part of SMART goals is relevancy. So the main question you have to ask yourself is, why am I setting this goal? Is it something that's in line with the long-term, broader-scale trajectory? Is it relevant to the ultimate destination? And then the last part, which I submit is just as important as, if not the most important, is it time bound? You have to, with goals, you have to tie yourself into a specific time frame. So every goal needs a target date and that deadline of something that you're constantly working towards.
I think, you know, and part of achieving your goals, right, is knowing your strengths and your weaknesses too. You know, what do you do to shore up your weaknesses? How do you identify them, or what do you do to shore up those weaknesses so that you can hit your goals?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to think about that concept. So, I think I invert that analysis, Pete. One of the things that I try to do is focus on accentuating positives. So if you focus on accentuating your positives, you don't have to, your weaknesses kind of work themselves out of the way. So try this exercise. This would be something that I would recommend. So Choose three things in your, I'll speak in the professional context. Choose three things that you are as skilled or more skilled at than anybody else in your company, and at the same time enjoying more than doing any other task. So you've got the three things that you've selected. Why are you, introspect a bit, ask yourself, why are you good at these things? And how can you get any better at these things? What outside forces get in the way of you getting better at these respective strengths? And then furthermore, what resources do you need to get even better? And then lastly, I would say, think about how your life and your career would change if almost all of your time was spent doing just these three things. It's amazing that how your life would change and you wouldn't worry about what your weaknesses are because you'd be focusing on doing the things that you're great at and the things that give you the most enjoyment. And the last part of that exercise, I would say, is think about what you can do to reorient your life to focus on almost entirely those three things that you're working on now and that your best skills. And at the same time, I would say, you can list five things that you did all the time in the past last year that you hate to do or you're not great at, and then think of those five things. Which one of those things can be delegated or outsourced so that somebody else can do them? And who is that person and how are they going to do it? So if you spent an exercise for anybody who's listening and want to get better in their personal or professional life, focus on those three things, only those three things. Get the five things that you suck at or you don't enjoy. Who the heck can you outsource those to? And there's a life hack, which is an improvement in your life and your day in, day out happiness.
You know, that is absolutely terrific advice. While you're saying that, I'm putting this in my brain right here, and I'm thinking about my life, you know, and I am getting introspective for a second, saying, what are my big three? One of my big three things since we're on OKV 104.5, the three big things you need to know right here. News 104.5. Hard work, repeat the job, guy. The three big things I need
solid
to know
plug.
Right, about myself that I'm good at, that I derive enjoyment from, that help me perfect. It's identify those and how can I amplify that? How can I, on a grander scale, spend more time doing the things that I'm meant to do, that I get enjoyment from, and it will help me. And at the same time, these are the five things that I'm spending a lot of time that, man, it hurts. It bogs me down. It keeps me up at night. How can I diminish that? Or who else in my circle of influence can do these things? Maybe I can delegate it to somebody that works for me. I can do less of the things that I'm not great at or the things that bother me and focus on the things that I derive pleasure from and the things that I'm great at.
Yeah, get those things off your plate. The chances are somebody else in your office or in your life is great at one of those five things that you're not very good at.
Or they derive pleasure from it.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I've had somebody that's worked for me for about 15 years. Work with me for so long. And it was kind of like my yin and yang. The things that I was not good at, she absolutely loved to do and became super organized and just the absolute best. And I'm like this, you know, I'm going to go fast and furious, and I might go in a bunch of different directions, and I'm kind of visionary, but I'm going to massive action, and, you know, and sometimes I'm fast and loose. This other person was buttoned up, operationally sound, and did all the things that kind of balanced it out, and it just took an enormous pressure off of me, and at the same time, she's like in hog heaven doing all the stuff that I hate to do, and she was magnificent at, so.
Yeah, even Batman needs a Robin.
Well said, sir. Well said. Okay, so what are you... This is one that I thought about when you were coming. I'm going to ask you this question.
All right.
What are you currently accepting from this past year, 2018? Even though it's... You know, what was less than optimal, and what are you going to do in 2019 to fix it?
Yeah, that's a great question, Pete. I would say I allow myself to get sucked into fire du jour of the day. You know, I allow myself to be influenced by the squeakiest wheel sometime, and changing that is something that I'm going to try to work on, and incorporating more of a matrix on how I spend my time and how I choose to make decisions. There's a thing that I read about once called the 10-10-10 method of decision making. And this method employs a very simple analysis when you're making decisions on what to do, whether it's something, it has personal and professional application. And the questions you ask yourself are, how will I, if you come to a decision, what you think is the decision, how will I feel about this in 10 minutes? Okay, that's the answer to one question. Mm-hmm. How will I feel about this in 10 days or 10 weeks? That's the next one. And how will I feel about this in 10 years? And depending on what your priorities are, sometimes you want to make a decision that yields instant gratification. I would submit that I live by the 10-year method a lot more often, where mm-hmm. I'm trying to make decisions that affect the end game, you know, play the long game. So I'm going to start employing a lot more 10-10-10 decision-making processes for me, so that I can allow the hurting somebody's feelings because I didn't give them the appropriate level of attention. They'll be hurt for the next 10 minutes. But if I do X, Y, and Z, I'm pretty sure I'll be in the better off in the long run 10 years down the road.
What, you know, second time you're on the show, okay? I learned a lot the first time. But, you know, think about this, guys. This show is all about the workforce and helping people to become more effective, more productive in their work lives. But so much of this transfers to our personal lives. And, you know, thinking that there's some big difference between your personal life and your professional life, I mean, the same principles apply. Relationships take work. They're not effortless. You know, some days my wife, she wants to hug me and hold me and just squeeze me when I come home. And other times she wants to bear hug me to death until there's zero oxygen in my lungs just long enough so that I pass. That's it.
Hopefully she's you got adequate insurance.
Right. She makes sure of that.
The listeners just heard a motive.
Yeah, right. But ultimately, you know, so many of the things that we talk about, business principles, apply to our personal lives too. And the 10-10-10, you know, I spoke on an earlier show, the very first one of the year, I gave everybody the big news that I am dying, right? I told everybody, that, you know, that look, I'm dying. And before my death, there are some things that I have to get done. Okay, I made a list of all the things I have to get done. One of the things is righting any wrong that I've ever done to anybody. And I'm on a mission to say I'm sorry to anybody that I've ever crossed in any way. The whole thing was, Charlie, and then I said at the end of it is, look, we're all dying. You know, it's part of life is you have a death sentence. I'm not actually, I don't have a time limit or a duration, but it could happen at any time. And I want to make sure that my goals, I'm constantly working towards achieving my goals, and I'm righting wrongs that I might have done. And, you know, I just want to make sure that when, you know, my head hits the pillow for the final time, that, you know, when I leave the world a little bit of a better place, and people say, you know, Pete the Job Guy wasn't such a bad guy, or he helped me. My wife will say, you know, he set us up comfortably. He did a good, he was a good provider, etc. But
Pete, for what it's worth, I think your legacy's clear in that regard. You've given far more than you've taken, and not a lot of people in the world can say that.
Well, that's wonderful. Let me ask you this now. Here's a tough one. You walk, and God forbid this ever happens, but you walk outside of you're at some event, and you come outside, and then somebody puts a gun to your head, and they come up and they stick them up, and they say, you know what, I'm gonna kill you, and then after I'm done, I'm gonna kill your entire family. Everybody's gonna, the whole Jimerson clan's gonna be wiped out if you don't hit your goals within the next 12 months. Now, having that in mind, what are you going to do differently?
So, you know, one of my goals, I will espouse one of my goals on a personal level. I need to keep working on my positive energy, and I want to be contagiously positive and uplift people everywhere I go and in everything I do. And live by the sometimes I've got to get better at, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all scenario.
you were talking
about the whole you wanted to apologize to people. I'm kind of have lived from the Conor McGregor school of apologies, where he grabbed the mic and say, I want to apologize to absolutely nobody.
I didn't come here to take part. I came here to take over.
But, you know, for me, I have to decide to be happy every day and really help others to make that same decision. If my positivity depended on the fate of myself and my family, I think one thing that I've thought about doing is having kind of timeouts throughout the course of my day, where I just take a timeout, take a deep breath, refocus on something that makes me positive, or just literally compel myself to be positive, just a gear shift, and then get right back to it. I think if I do that, my long-term resonant aura would be a lot more positive, and it would enable me to go through a process of prioritizing happiness over angst.
Yeah, and that's important, happiness over angst. My daughter and I, it's funny, because we talk about goals and things with her, and one of her goals, you know, if we say to be happy, she came up with she wants to be a happier person, okay? So we said, what are the things? And she has a whiteboard in her room. Shout out to my daughter, Lindy.
Shout out.
She has a whiteboard in her room, and we put four things that she can do to have, to be happier this year. And the very first one she put on there is something that I advocate all the time, is smile. Just smile. And I said, watch this. And I said, Angie, and I call her mom and my wife. I said, can you come in here for a second? She walks in the room and she says, what? And we both smile. What did she immediately do? She smiled. And I told Lindy, like, she goes, what? She's smiling. And we both laughed. And I said, see, if you want to be happier, you smile more. And I made a conscious decision years ago to smile more. And it's had a big impact on my life. I can walk into a room. A friend of mine years back, and Steve Cass was his name, Steve said to me, he goes, you know, you tend to make like a scorn face, like a mad face when you walk in. You kind of look like you're angry. And that doesn't work when you're in charge of a big office like I was at the time. You shouldn't always look like you're mad. He goes, why don't you try to? And I thought, wow, I'm a happy guy. Why do I look mad? And I smiled more and I became a happier person. There you go.
So yeah. Cost you nothing, right?
Right.
It's not very expensive. I could be wrong about this, but I think I remember reading once that it takes more energy in terms of your muscles to actually make a frown than it does to smile.
I've read the same thing. Okay, Charlie, and that music that we're hearing right now means we have to take a bottom of the hour break. Folks, you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, all you hard workers. This is Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, and my guest today is the world-famous Charlie Jimerson. Now I got a question for you here. Some people hate particular days of the week. I got a case of the Mondays. Oh my, it's hump day and everything's brutal. You know, do you hate a particular day of the week, or what do you do to keep every day a good day?
Well, you know, we kind of touched on this last time that I was in chatting with you. I try to have some good balance in my life so that there's not a lot of swings one day or the other. At the beginning of every year, I try to put together what I think is the perfect day and then try to make every day very close to a perfect day. But, you know, I don't hate Mondays because I spend time on Sundays getting organized, and Mondays are just, I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to, you know, get in there to my office and perform and start the work week. I'm excited about it. But, you know, it's weird as it sounds, Friday nights for me are like a odd time because I've put everything I have into my work throughout the course of the week. And come Friday night when it's time to check out and I, you know, do family things and or whatever you want to do, I haven't put any time into planning that. And so, like, there was this weird, like, cycle where I would come home after work, long week. Of course, I'm gassed, you know. Mentally and physically drained. And there's, like, we play the what are we going to eat for dinner game for, like, an hour. You know, it's like, you know, I want to just, like, my wife, who is amazing in 1 million ways, is, like, not a great decision maker sometimes. Yeah, and yeah. She needs some counsel in that regard. Before we know it, long story short, Pete, it would be 10 o'clock, we're starving, and the night's completely wasted. So I'm going to work on having better Friday nights, and we have been working on that, you know, and that just takes, like anything else in life, you get out of it what you put into it, right, Pete?
Yep, you sure do.
And so if I want to have a better Friday night, more quality dinner, or better marital interaction, or better time with my kids, well, I got to get out ahead of it, and I got a plan now, don't I?
Outstanding. Yes, you do, sir. Okay, this is the pot we're all ready for. Josh, is your mic live? Are you ready to get in here?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Charlie, you ready to play Josh in Lightning Round?
Josh is a scary dude. I mean, he's
on top of things today.
Yeah,
he caught me off guard a few weeks ago.
You on the news a lot more lately, too.
Yeah,
you've been doing news.
Doing some morning stuff. Yeah.
Are you doing more of that than you have in the past?
Yep. 6 seasons. You know, people are out, so I'm trying to step up and read some words.
Do you hear how he's got the voice? Like, we don't have the voice. We're just a couple of normal guys. And all of a sudden, when radio guy comes on, you hear the tone in his voice.
We have faces for radio, though.
Yeah. Yes, we do, sir. All right. This is Lightning Round. There's no rules to Lightning Round, and there's no point value. I just, after the end, tell you who won and who didn't. Okay. The first question, we'll go to Charlie. And this one is going to be whoever is closest between the two of you at this. When was Elvis Presley's first concert? Quick, lightning.
1953.
Close?
52, July 7th.
Okay, it was 1954. Charlie wins the first one. Speaking with Presley. Okay, and we'll start with you, Josh. What year did Elvis die?
78.
77.
77!
All right.
On the toilet, didn't he?
Yes. Oh, man. All right. Poor Come on, Jim. I'm going to give you this one.
Okay, I'm ready.
Trick question, he's still alive.
Right. Some speculate there's a conspiracy theory, right?
He's dining with Tupac.
Yeah, he is. Who sang My Way?
Frank Sinatra.
There we go, 2-1. All right. This one is going to be whoever chimes in first. 2-1 right now.
Need a buzzer.
Whoever chimes in first with the correct answer wins. Who's the main actor in the movie Cocktail?
Tom Cruise.
How's the tie? 2-1. What country gave Florida to the United States in
1899? Spain.
Oh, Josh.
I didn't know if I had to wait for it.
He was doing Jeopardy rules. Yeah. He's waiting for Alex to finish the question before he answers.
Fair enough.
Okay. On this one, you each get a chance to name an actor. Okay. We'll start with you, Charlie. Name one of the two main actors in the movie The Sting.
Oh, gracious. That must be pretty old. I don't know. No clue. I don't think I've seen it.
I also have no clue, but I'll guess Pacino.
Oh, no. That was Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Oh, yeah, before Pacino.
Long before your time. Okay. What is my favorite song and who sang it?
I Feel Good by James Brown.
Nope, that is incorrect.
I would say Come On Eileen by Dixie's Midnight Runners.
Very close. Is it the Hustle? The song was Melt With You by Modern English.
Oh. Okay. The deep cuts.
Okay.
There's so many layers to pee the job down.
Right. Here we go. Right here. How many prongs are in a fork?
Four.
You had it first. 3-2. There are chess pieces have two colors. What color starts first in any chess game?
Black.
You're both incorrect. It is white.
Huh.
Okay.
Well, don't tell my wife that.
This is, again, buzz in. Who said, or who's famous for this formula, E equals MC squared?
Einstein.
Albert,
that's
Germany.
That's another tie.
1901.
You know, I'll give that one to Josh.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's
pretty close. The I started before the Stein.
Okay, it's tricky. Okay. It's tricky.
No, this one's pretty easy. Famous detective smoked a pipe, played the violin.
Sherlock Holmes. Didn't know he played violin.
Yeah.
No. Me neither.
What two colors mixed together make purple?
Red and blue.
Yes.
I would not have gotten that one.
Do you want me to sit this one out?
Yeah, no, yeah, that was not for me. I was busy eating the crayons.
Okay. We got a couple more to do because this is really, really important because I love it. What is the hardest rock?
Diamond.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay. You're at 7.
Josh is
right now.
Mopping
Josh
up right now.
Josh is at 7. First
wow.
one to 10
Blowout.
Wins.
Blowout.
What year was Kennedy assassinated?
63.
Yes.
November 22nd.
Good job, Josh.
This one she should
Josh
be
Josh is
able
precocious.
To get.
Wise beyond his years.
What stopped in London at 3:45 p.m.? What?
Big Ben.
Ooh,
Big Ben is correct.
I would not
correct.
Have got that.
Real simple. Come on. These are easy.
Met my wife
who
in
wrote,
London.
Who wrote Julius Caesar, Macbeth, and Hamlet?
Shakespeare.
Correct.
Billy Shakespeare.
7-6.
Ooh,
don't call
back.
Come
ten
back.
Wins. We're almost there. This is my preference in my head. And Charlie, texting or talking?
You're a texter.
No, I'm a talker.
Huh.
I don't like texting.
Interesting.
Real slow. So no points valued. What is my favorite city outside of Jacksonville?
Savannah.
Why would you say Savannah?
I really
like Savannah. It's close, but I like Boston.
Yeah.
I
thought you guys would get
Title
it.
I just said Beantown. I said Boston. Yeah.
But I didn't give it back to you. So I can't
fair
can't
enough.
Give you any point value.
There's no point value. These are little sketchy rules here. This is the Russian judge over here.
I think no matter who gets 10 first, Pete's going to win.
Yeah. Yes. How's that going to work?
All right. This is for the tiebreaker and for the absolute win. You know my age. What year did I graduate high school?
81.
Incorrect.
Yeah, 83.
Yes,
83.
Charlie's a winner! Boom!
Excellent
Charlie,
job.
I want to thank you a lot for coming out here. What you've shared with us, we always have fun. The lightning round's a lot of fun, but you gave us some really good principles that'll not only help listeners in their professional life, but in their personal lives as well. How can people get in touch with you, or you want to take a minute to give us a little bit of a commercial on Jimerson and Cobb?
Thanks, Pete. Please. Yeah, I appreciate it. I love Jimerson Cobb's a full-service business law firm, so the way you think of it is pretty much any issue that touches a business we can handle, and we have the depth of experience and aptitude to do so. Can get a hold of me through my online profile at jimersoncobb.com. My contact information is in there, phone number and email address, and be delighted to speak to any of your listening audience and help out with some of their legal issues. You know, think of me as a trusted advisor. I don't care whether it's a business issue you need some help on. If it's an area that's not in our practice, a specialty, then we'll get you to a right lawyer. Or if you need a table in Manhattan, I can get you that. You need a mechanic on the west side, I can get you that. You need to talk MMA sports, I can probably do that. And you want to talk smack about Pete, I'm not your guy. You know, I'm his enforcer. Don't bring that to me.
Right. Jimerson and Cobb, 1M and Jimerson. All your contact information is going to be put up on Pete the Job Guy. Charlie, thanks again for coming out. Have a great Sunday, and we appreciate you being here.
Happy birthday, Pete.
Thank you, sir. All right, guys, get those pens and papers ready and take some notes, because this is one of my favorite parts of the whole Hard Worker Show. It's where we get our leadership lessons from Coach Larry. Take it away, Coach Larry.
Hey, everyone. If you're like me, I am sure you're tired of all the self-help advice that circulates this time of year. I, for one, plan to eat more seaweed this year. You know, it's the new potato chip. Actually, and this is true, we just purchased a treadmill and a NutriBullet on the same day. So it sounds like I plan on drinking smoothies while running. Now, that should help me lose the weight, right? Well, anyway, today I want to talk about how you can have a great year as a leader. This idea was sparked by this letter. Dear Coach Larry, I'm ready to take my career to the next level. My kids are grown, and now I am ready to devote more time to my career. But I don't know where to start. Cautious Kathy. Great question. Today I'm going to introduce you to three people that will help you have your best year. If you don't know these people, you are at risk of stagnating and not making your most important goals. Each of these people, they play a vital role in your career. So who are they and what do they do? Everyone who is serious about their careers should have a coach, a mentor, and a sponsor. The best leaders have someone to turn to, give them guidance, and push them out of their comfort zones so that they can become the leaders they were meant to be. So what do they do? Well, let's start with the mentor. A mentor is someone who has more experience than you in a specific area that you want to develop. For example, they may be the CFO and you are someone in the accounting department. Mentees benefit from mentors because they learn from the mentor's experience in an area that they want to develop. And it's usually a technical area or a skill. Mentors bring their experience and their whole network to bear for helping the mentee develop a specific set of skills. Next are sponsors. Sponsors tend to be a very senior people. A sponsor is able to assign a specific stretch assignment or project to the person being sponsored. A sponsor has the power of saying, "Wow, our LATAM operation is really messed up. Let's have Larry move to Argentina for a few years, and I'm going to help him fix it." A sponsor lays her or his reputation on the line because they put you in challenging roles, but for your growth. Finally, we have the coach. A coach is also about development and improving performance. Typically, A coach helps you develop non-technical skills, skills like emotional intelligence, persuasion, leading teams, and the such. A coach will help you create a development plan and will help you ask questions. They will ask you questions so that you can come up with your own best solutions. Now, you may think that, yes, I have these people in my life, but let me challenge you on that. If you don't meet with them regularly and you don't have specific goals that you're working towards, then they are just friends. Friends are good, friends are nice, but a coach, mentor, and sponsor will help make things happen. The most important part of having a coach, mentor, and sponsor is choosing the right one. So to get help in making that decision, give me a call. 843-800-2156 or go to my men's site website, www.mendozaandobrien.com. So here's to you to having a great year. Back to you.
Thank you, Coach Larry. Again, words to live by to help us to be more effective and productive in our work lives. And a lot of those things transfer over to our personal lives as well. Now it's one of my favorite time, one of my favorite parts of the whole doggone show. This is where we get Boston Danny to give us a Boston update the way that only Boston Danny can. Take it away, Boston Danny.
Good morning, Jacksonville. Danny from Boston here, giving you another update on up here in the wonderful Northland. So I've been thinking about Florida a little bit, and I know there's a lot of people that are native Floridians, but there's a lot of people that aren't, that have transplanted themselves down there, and they consider themselves Floridians. But you ever think you might be a Bostonian? I got a list that, you know, you might be a Bostonian if. So if you think of Philadelphia as the deep south, you might be a Bostonian. You think it's your God-given right to cut off someone in traffic? Bostonian. You think there's only 25 letters in the alphabet? No R's. You think that 3 straight days of 90-plus is a heat wave? You might be a Bostonian if all of your pets are named after Celtic Hall of Famers and you refer to 6 inches of snow as a dusting. And just hearing the words New York puts you in an angry frenzy. You don't think you have an attitude? You know the significance of 1918. If somebody asks you, everything in town is a 5-minute walk away. When you're out of town, you think the natives of the area and you're visiting are all whacked. You still can't bear to watch the highlights from Game 6 of the 1986 World Series, and you have no idea what the word compromise means. You believe using your turn signal is a sign of weakness, and you don't realize that you talk twice as fast as everyone else in the country. You're anal, neurotic, spasmatic, and stubborn. You think that if someone's nice to you, they must want something or are from out of town. Your favorite adverb is wicked, and you think 63-degree ocean water is warm. You think the Kennedys are misunderstood. You say you went to Dartmouth, and you mean the State College in Southern Massachusetts. You can't say the name Bill Buckner without some sort of expletive preceding, following, or coming between his name, or all three. You consider any trip outside of 495 going abroad, and you've never been outside of 495. You have a mullet cut, and you know where the town the Automile is in, and you can say which car dealer says, come on down. That would be Ernie Bach. All right? Another way you can tell a Bostonian is, you know, when we say bizarre, we mean odd. Flowers, that's roses, you know, etc. Half past, that's 30 minutes after the hour. How are you? That equals how are you. Khakis, that's what we start the car with. Pisser is superb. Sure is of course. Wicked means extremely. And yiz is you in the plural. And we know you weren't born here if you're wearing a Harvard sweatshirt, you use a crosswalk, you ask for the directions to Cheers, or you order a grinder and a soda, or you follow soccer and you walk the Freedom Trail. That's how we do it. So for everyone in Jacksonville, I hope you have a great Sunday. Peter and Aaron, stay in touch. I hope you're enjoying it. Any shout-outs, folks, get them in there. I'll give you that flair that we all do. And I hope you have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
You might be a Bostonian. Oh, gosh, Danny, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Guys, this is the part of the show when I tell you exactly what Pete the Job Guy does and how I can help you personally. I am a professional recruiter. I am an employment expert. And I say that because I've been doing it for 20 plus years, even longer than that here in the Jacksonville market. I have literally placed thousands and thousands of people and their jobs. I've helped people with temporary work, and I've helped people with direct hire. I find them jobs. I help companies find talent that they either couldn't find on their own, or they don't have the time, energy, and resources to find it themselves. They might even have a talent acquisition team, but they use me to augment that. Our teams are specialists. We have technology professionals that place technology professionals. And when you come from that background, you know what questions to ask. You know how to uniquely qualify people or disqualify people from certain jobs. We have accountants that place accountants. That's what they do day in and day out. So they're not trying to place a nurse one day, trying to place an administrative professional one day, light industrial the next, and then they try to find you a senior cost accountant with Timberline experience for your construction company. Nah, they're experts. So I tell you guys, I work for S&I Companies, and I'm so proud of this company. We're a national company, but we're a big player here in the Jacksonville market. And if you have hiring needs, whether you need right now, your peak season's coming up. Let's say you're some type of retailer, and in February, you have to gear up because Valentine's Day is your big, that's where your call volume increases, and you need some people to come in and take your calls. You need your call center with temporary employees. You call me, Pete the Job Guy, 904-713-2550. You call us and we'll find all the talent. We'll recruit them. We'll make sure that they're ready. We'll make sure that they'll stay for the duration of the assignment. If the continuity of the candidate from beginning to end is important to you, call me, Pete the Job Guy, 904-713-2550. Let's say you're looking for that next step in your professional career and you need some advice, some guidance. You know, you got a good job right now, but maybe you want to work closer to home. You want to make a little bit more money. You want better benefits, or you want a company that has a career trajectory that is more in line with your goals. You call me, Pete the Job Guy. That's what I do. 904-713-2550. Me and the wonderful staff, I have a team of recruiters and professionals that this is their livelihood. This is what they do. They help people day in and day out. You want some help with your resume. You want interview tips. You want some guidance. You want to know how many positions are open in the Jacksonville market that fit your criteria. Call me, Pete the Job Guy at S&I Companies, 904-713-2550. Now, we handle accounting and finance professionals. We have a division that's dedicated to banking people. Jeff and his team at S&I Banking, that's all they place is banking professionals. We have S&I Technology. We have S&I Financial. We have accounting now, staffing now. You may know our family of brands. That's what we do. We're proud members of GEE Group. You can look at us on the New York Stock Exchange. Our ticker symbol is J-O-B, job. We're an employment agency. Go figure. Look at that. J-O-B. Guys, every week I come to you and I hope I impart some wisdom that is going to help you to be more effective, more productive, and I hope you wrote some things down, some things that you're going to do differently as a result of the time you spent listening to this show. My guest today was Charlie Jimerson, and Charlie is awesome. We'll be broadcasting next week, and we'll have a live broadcast taking your calls. Now, this week, go get them, hard workers!